Prophecy update, October. Here we are. Wow. Time flies, that's for sure. Well, you know, this evening I wanted to take advantage of where we are in our Through the Bible study because on Wednesday night, if you missed that, you might want to go back and review that because we talked about the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. And we talked about how the little horn would come out of those 10 horns that would come out of the Roman Empire. And we kind of went through that. And there's actually a parallel passage in the book of Revelation. So I thought, let's do the parallel passage tonight as well as kind of do an update on what that is all talking about. Of course, the little horn is none other than the Antichrist. And by the way, I believe that the world, the stage is set. The stage is set for the Antichrist to come and be unveiled. But something big has to happen before the Antichrist is revealed, okay? And I want you to be thinking about, what is it that has to happen? Don't say it. What is it that has to happen before the Antichrist is revealed? We'll talk about that tonight too. So I've got my little graphic here with Antichrist, and I hope you noticed his tennis shoes, by the way. If you didn't, we'll talk about those in a second. But we have fun with these graphics, Micah and I do. Anyway, this is kind of the topic. And really, you know, the Antichrist is a funny name. Sometimes I almost wish we wouldn't call him the Antichrist. I'll tell you why. Well, Brett, that's the Bible. Of course it is. But did you know the Bible calls him the son of Satan? He's called the little horn. He's called the beast. He's called the son of perdition, the wicked one. He's called the lawless one. He's called the prince to come. He's even called the Assyrian if you go deep into some of the typology of the Old Testament. But there's all these different titles for him. Really, the word Antichrist is barely even used in the Bible. You know, it's like John is the only one who employs that, you know, in his epistles, this idea of the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist that comes before that. That's a really important thing. But the reason I almost want to say, let's not call him the Antichrist, even though everybody calls him that, I don't think you're going to do that. But the reason is because it's sort of this image of a little devilish guy running around with a cape, you know, and a little pitchfork and running around this little sinister guy with a goatee, you know. That's not the Antichrist. That's not what the Antichrist will be. He is going to be a very slick politician. He's going to be noteworthy and likable. The Bible talks about how he will sort of win everyone's allegiance. And he's going to be, when you think of world leaders, you know, you think of some of the you know, capabilities, you know, maybe he'll have the personality of a Ronald Reagan. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, the idea of just a really nice guy who's a leader and everybody kind of liked Reagan, even the people that didn't like Reagan sort of liked Reagan because he was just a neat dude, you know? I wonder if the Antichrist is going to be a guy that just people like. He's just a likable guy because, man, people are going to fall hook, line, and sinker for this leader that's coming. So maybe he'll have the friendliness, maybe the oratory skills of Ronald Reagan. Or maybe he'll have, you know, the diplomacy of a Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon. Or various leaders that have come, you know, the likability of Ike. You know, remember, I like Ike. Who knows? But he's going to be embraced by all. So these names, I think, are kind of important. He is the son of Satan. Now, the reason I want to talk about that title just for a second is because, remember, the devil is a liar and a duplicator. And one of the things Antichrist will sort of do is try to duplicate the Messiah and what Jesus actually has already done. And we'll talk about that as well. The little horn is Daniel chapter 7. We looked at that on Wednesday night. He's the little horn that comes out of the 10 horns. And what does he do to three of the other horns? He plucks them up by the roots. Remember that? We learned that on Sunday. So the little horn is that title. The idea of the beast is more of what the book of Revelation calls this leader. You come across that title a lot. The problem with Revelation is we'll see tonight there's actually a couple different beasts that we need to sort of differentiate, and we'll maybe do that as well. The son of perdition, which is one of the worst things you could ever be called, the son of perdition. It was Judas Iscariot that also had the same kind of title, which means he's basically doomed for sure. The Wicked One, which is kind of the same sort of title we would give to Satan himself, as it turns out. The Lawless One. And the prince to come, the lawless one, I forgot to put on there. But the lawless one is the one that sort of starts to show us what's going on. And isn't it interesting? His number is 666. Did you guys see the article on Satan's shoes? It's been a while now, but I just thought it was interesting. You know, little Lil Nas X, I don't know how you say his name. But he put together Satan's shoes, designed in collaboration with the Mischief Company, that sold 666 pairs of these modified Nike Air Max 97s. And guess how long it took for these 666 shoes to sell the day they opened? Less than a minute. Less than a minute, 666 shoes. Now you say, well, big deal, they're just shoes. Yeah, but they charge $1,018 per shoe. I mean, per pair, I should say. Now, why $1,018? Well, he thought it would be great to put the scripture on there. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. He thought it'd be great. What does that verse say? Luke 10, 18. It says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Isn't that weird that he put there? I mean, I kind of like, well, good. At least everybody knows Satan fell from heaven. At least we know where he came from. But we also know where he's going too. If you want to put other scriptures on your shoes, I got some for you. But the thing that, you know, kind of got everybody all heebie-jeebied out about these shoes is, you know, NBC confirmed that there was a drop of human blood in each sole of each sneaker. Trying to be really, you know, evil or whatever by dropping human blood. I guess it was some of the employees that donated their blood to this endeavor. Just stupid stuff. And people being like to be edgy. It's funny how people like to be edgy about things when it comes to Satan and what have you. But I want to tell you, you know, I think one of Satan's lies is to sort of make himself a laughing matter. You know, sort of make it sort of like a joke, deviled ham, and, you know, the devil made me do a little guy in pink pajamas and a pitchfork. But I gotta tell you tonight, Satan and the Antichrist is a very serious topic. It's something that I think we need to, as Christians, be warning people about. Now, the reason why is because there will be people who will be alive when the Antichrist comes. If you're a Christian, I don't believe you will be. And I'll tell you why. It has to do with the rapture of the church and the timing of all that stuff. Now, there are people that disagree and they debate on when the timing of all these things are. But as it turns out, you know, I believe the next thing on the list that the Bible gives us is the rapture of the church. We'll be taken up to be with the Lord, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. And I'll show you where that is just as a reminder here. But I'd like to go through the scripture that maybe most talks about this Antichrist character that also parallels Daniel chapter 7. So why don't you grab your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. By the way, if you want to be a tourist, call the book of Revelation, Revelations with an S. Just giving you a heads up. When people say that, it always cracks me up because it's not Revelations, it's Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John the Apostle. It's not Revelations, just telling you the truth on that. And that way you can kind of think of it rightly. It is a revelation given to John by Jesus Christ, and it's powerful and it's important. What I want to do is look at this because, like I said, it parallels Daniel 7, but it also tells us all kinds of information about this coming world leader. And so I'd like to read through this if you'd allow me. Let's just read through chapter 13 and then we'll discuss it. It starts out in Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat or throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And when it says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Here we have in chapter 13 this pretty detailed description given to us about this coming beast, and it's interesting because we can learn a ton just looking in this chapter about who the Antichrist is, this little horn of Daniel chapter 7, and it describes two figures. By the way, did you notice there's two beasts? The first beast is one that comes out of the sea. Anybody remember what is the sea? The nations of the world, right? And interestingly enough, we believe the Antichrist, the first beast in this chapter, verses 1-10, is speaking of the Antichrist. That's the beast, the Antichrist. And he's gonna come from the nations of the world. And I believe he's gonna come from the old Roman Empire, because it's the little horn that comes out of the 10 horns that came out of the Roman Empire of Daniel 7, Daniel chapter 2, the 10 toes. So it's a man. That's one thing we learn, is this Antichrist character, this beast. Now, one thing you gotta learn too is, don't think that he's gonna have all these heads and horns and all this stuff, literally. It always cracks me up, because if you go search these things on Google, there's all these artists throughout the hundreds of years that have tried to depict these creatures that are being described. I don't think they were ever meant to be painted. They were meant to be describing other things about the characteristics of this person who's coming. And the Bible uses like word pictures to describe things that have meaning. But I don't think it was meant to necessarily be painted and what have you, because they're horrible. I should have brought some of the ones. Mike and I were laughing at some of the paintings of the little horn, this smiley face guy, and coming out of the other horns. And it's kind of this hideous looking thing. And maybe it is hideous, and we're supposed to know that. But the idea is more what these things stand for. Horns, of course, speak of power and authority. And the Bible is very much on imagery and typology. So that's what all these things, they all mean something. But out of the sea means the nations of the world. And that's verses 1-10 of this chapter speaks of the first beast. The other beast arises out of the earth, it says, which kind of is maybe an idiom of, coming from the below or beneath the earth is kind of the idea. And verses 11 through 18 speak of what we would call the false prophet. That's kind of an important part of chapter 13. And these two beasts are intertwined. The second beast that comes up, verses 11 through 18, is making the world worship the first beast. If you kind of remember John the Baptist when he came, and John the Baptist was the last of the prophets Jesus talked about. And he would say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." In a way, this false prophet takes sort of that role in pointing to the beast and saying, "Behold the beast," and that's what this false prophet will do. But the false prophet will also possess power to deceive and to do sort of miracles and what have you. So the first beast is simply labeled the beast. And this beast is mostly what we would call in the Bible, the Antichrist. And that's what we want to focus on tonight is this Antichrist character. So what does chapter 13 tell us about this coming world leader? And then how does that relate to today's world scene? What's going on in the world? Is the stage in fact set for this world leader to come on the scene? And I think some of the things that we learn about here in chapter 13, we see the stage set. And as we go, hopefully I'll kind of show you some of those things that are happening. But if you're jotting down notes, number one, we start with this one. We're told here that this beast, he was given power by Satan himself. And that's in verse 2. Satan himself empowers this beast. It's kind of an interesting thing, about where power comes from. Does Satan have power? The answer is yes. This is something that I'm a little troubled. Throughout the church history, the church people have been easily distracted by miracles. And one of the things you should watch out for, Christians, is this. Never chase after or follow after signs and wonders. If you're a part of a ministry that's more about signs and wonders than they are about Jesus, you got to run from that ministry. Not a good thing. It's not about signs and wonders. The Bible says, Jesus talked about how signs and wonders will follow them that believe. So yeah, miracles do follow the Christian, but Christians should not be chasing after or following signs and wonders. There's a difference. And there's some, big churches where, Gen Xers all the way down to millennials and Gen Zers are getting caught up into the whole, experiential, charismatic, Pentecostal, healing and signs and wonders and all this. And they're chasing after the signs and wonders. And Jesus sort of takes a back seat to that sort of thing. Watch out for that. That's devilish and evil. Did you know the devil can fake miracles? Remember Jannes and Jambres? Those were the two dudes in Egypt where Moses was doing, his thing. He'd throw down his rod and it'd become a serpent. And Jannes and Jambres would come up with their stick and throw theirs down. And they would also become a serpent. It's a pretty good trick. You got to admit that Jannes and Jambres were able to duplicate. It always cracks me up, though. They were only able to duplicate things and make matters worse. It's like Moses turns the water of the Nile River into blood. And Jannes and Jambres runs up and they get the only fresh water that's left and they say, "Watch," and they turn it into blood. They couldn't turn the river back into fresh water. They only made matters worse. They made more frogs. They were only able to make more stuff that messed them up. They weren't able to fix the problem. I think that's funny. And that's oftentimes a sign that the power is not of God because it doesn't do good things. But all that to say, the devil can duplicate, imitate, and do miracles, or at least seemingly miracles. There's a big question, by the way, debate, whether the devil is actually doing miracles or just a poser and faking, sleight of hand kind of thing. And that's a big question. That's something that we need to, you can study the scriptures about yourself. But as it turns out, the Antichrist gets his power from Satan itself. And we get that in verse 2 of Revelation 13. "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, that is his throne, and great authority. Interesting that the dragon, now the dragon, shorthand version, we're gonna tell you that is none other than the devil himself, Satan, the dragon here. And that's kind of important to understand. The dragon gave him his authority. Remember, by the way, that Satan has power and authority to give. We know that from Matthew chapter 4. Remember, Satan tried to tempt Jesus. Hey, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. And Satan does possess that title deed to planet Earth. That's gonna be transferred to Jesus someday. Good news. But Satan has power and he does have evil and he's going to give this Antichrist character that power. We've seen, by the way, this power and authority and how people rise up into power. Have you guys noticed that in the last 20 years or so, where people in the world have risen to power and they rise quickly today? Have you noticed that? It used to be when I was younger that a politician or a leader kind of had to have a little bit of a track record. Remember that? Remember the days where you kind of had to, well, this guy's been in Congress for a few years, like 20 years, or this guy's been a judge or an attorney or has a long record of this or that. But today, I'll just say it, since Obama, remember Obama just came out of nowhere? And suddenly he's got the Nobel Peace Prize. We're like, huh, what? What did he do? Community organizer? Okay. And how long has he been doing that? What? And suddenly he's the most powerful man in the free world. And it was a little shocking how quickly he rose to power. And do you remember there was almost a messiah sort of level delirium around the President Obama. Now, whether you love him or hate him, I'm not making an argument one way or the other on that. I'm just saying that's in fact what happened. You could say that about, I've noticed that today people can sort of pop up. If we wanted to get the other side, Sarah Palin, where'd she come from? Sarah Palin, like suddenly, wow, she's on the scene as the vice presidential candidate and she kind of rose up and then, and people are like, wait, who? How does that happen today? It's the media. Today, we've got media that will suddenly throw someone out there and in seconds, their name becomes a household name and suddenly people love them or hate them. And it's amazing how people can just sort of pop into power. And also it's amazing how people can be put into power. Need I talk about AOC? Like it's an amazing thing to watch how this young girl, just kind of suddenly, wow, where did she come from? And how did she get elected? And what has she done? And you realize there's powers that be that sort of put people in positions of power. And we could go on and on talking about these powers and how quickly these powerful people come to rise. We've even seen this power given to people that we never really wanted to have power. How did Fauci become so powerful? None of us had ever heard of Fauci until the coronavirus. And then suddenly he's telling us that we can't go to Thanksgiving or you got to wear two masks or whatever. And it's like he suddenly got all this power and you're like, wow, who gave him this power and authority? We're seeing that today. You want to know who's feeling that power that happens ever so quickly is our, lighthearted, wily little friends down in Australia. We'll throw a shrimp on the barbie for you. Like when I think of Australians, I think of lighthearted, fun, people. But right now, well, as it turns out, Australia is in a total mess. And all these radical lockdowns, whatever happened to the good-natured Australians? They're having war on their streets right now because of massive overreach from the whole coronavirus. If you look at the statistics of Australia, it's a little bit like what happened here in Oregon, just on a national scene there in Australia. And some of these Aussies, they're not going for it. They're saying, yeah, who made you the boss over us? But it's gotten crazy. Have you seen, the way they have to, they're being, if you get the coronavirus, you're being traced. And sort of, it makes sort of the 1984 George Orwell's sort of thing almost a joke. Like it's Orwellian, to say the least. And the Australians are freaking out because of it. And they're saying, where did all this power come from? Well, as it turns out, it came instantly, and people are saying, where did all that come from? So the power is gonna be given to Antichrist from Satan, and it's gonna happen immediately. He'll be put into power, given a throne, given that authority instantaneously, and that we're seeing that happen. Number two, the Antichrist will appear to resurrect. That's another thing we learn here in Revelation chapter 13. It says in Revelation 13:3, it says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. There's gonna be some kind of a wound, and we can only speculate what this is. Was it like maybe an assassination attempt? And you say, well, Brett, it's one of his heads. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe he has multiple heads and he's walking around. Maybe I'm wrong. He is a beast walking around with multiple heads. I don't believe that's what's happening. He's a slick politician, and he's gonna seem to be wounded unto death, but he'll be sort of healed and the world will wonder. Do you remember when, speaking of Reagan, remember when Reagan got shot? I think that he gained more, you know, admiration. Remember when he poked his head out the hospital window and was like, we're like, wow, like what an awesome guy, he got shot and he's still, you know, there to tell about it and what have you. And he won a lot of favor just because he survived the assassination attempt. Well, this is gonna be the real deal. And people will think, can you imagine if like JFK, after his shooting and everybody saw it, if suddenly he showed up again afterward and like, yeah, I'm feeling much better. I believe this is gonna look something more like that. He'll be wounded unto death is the idea here. And he's gonna be healed. Now again, I need to say this because the Antichrist, the beast, he's gonna be a duplicator. And, you know, Satan is not omniscient. I hope you know that. He doesn't know all things. But he does know history. And Jesus truly was crucified unto death, put in a tomb, and then rose from the grave. And billions of people have believed in Jesus ever since because of the resurrection. You get a sense that the Antichrist is going to duplicate his, you know, his own death and resurrection to sort of imitate the Messiah. And by the way, you gotta understand, the Jews during the tribulation period, largely the Jews in the world do not believe in Jesus the Messiah. They're still looking for their Messiah. And they will believe that this Messiah is the Antichrist. They're gonna sign a peace treaty. If you recall in Daniel chapter 9, we'll go over that in a couple weeks. In Daniel chapter 9, the Jews will sign a peace treaty, and it'll sort of be, I believe, a treaty that will calm down the whole Middle East. He will seem to bring in a peace, but it'll be a fake peace. It's not a real peace. But they're gonna sign a document, a treaty, and the Jews are gonna be duped. And they're gonna think he's the Messiah, and then he'll be wounded and seem to raise up sort of from the dead even, just like Jesus. He's a duplicator and imitator, and that's something we're gonna see. Now, by the way, it took a lot of years for Jesus and the word to get out about Jesus being resurrected. Can you imagine in modern times with social media buzzing and news agencies, you know, broadcasting his immediate, you know, healing from a mortal wound? This will give him credibility instantly in the tribulation period. This is all gonna happen. So, you know, you've got the Antichrist will appear to resurrect. Number three on our list that we learn here in Revelation 13. The Antichrist will be a conqueror. He's gonna be into warfare and conquering. It says that in our verse four, Revelation 13, 4. There we read, it says, and they worship the dragon which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who is able to make war with him? It's a rhetorical question. In other words, nobody can fight him. Now that's interesting in living in these days because talk about warfare. A couple prophecy updates ago, I think it was August, we talked about the weapons of the end times. And the technology is over the top. But somehow this Antichrist character is going to come in with even greater technology and greater weapons, and it shouldn't shock us. Maybe you should remember back into Daniel chapter 11. We'll be there in a few weeks as well. In Daniel chapter 11, it says about this coming Antichrist. By the way, there's over 100 scriptures in the Bible that deal directly with who the Antichrist is. That's a lot of scripture. So I'm just giving you the spatterings of some of them tonight, but the Bible's full of information about this coming world leader called Antichrist. But in Daniel 11, 38, but in his estate, he shall honor the God of forces. It's gonna appear that he worships military, is the idea. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. He's gonna spend billions, maybe trillions of dollars on munitions. Some of your translations even say munitions. They'll worship the God of munitions or weaponry. And he's gonna spend a lot of money on that weaponry. Interesting that we're seeing the stage set for that as well. Do you remember when we talked about the weapons of modern warfare and the weapons of the end times? The number one weapon that everybody's fearing, and there's a new arms race happening right now. Do you guys remember what was the number one thing people are afraid of right now? Anybody? AI is one of them, but not the biggest one. Quantum. Remember the quantum technology that's in computers? This quantum technology, man, even since I did that prophecy update in August, there's more about that. And the race to whatever nation gets the quantum technology dialed in for computing, it's gonna take weaponry to a whole nother level. Like people are saying, it's gonna be like the equivalent of when the United States got the nuclear bomb in World War II. It just changed the whole equation. They're saying that quantum technology is gonna change the whole equation when it comes to warfare. Could it be? And this is what I would just ask. Could it be that today this Antichrist character is gonna somehow be linked to whoever figures that out the first, and will be able to dominate largely with that perhaps quantum technology. So there's, again, the stage is set for some new tech. You know, it's almost hard to imagine new weaponry that could be, more effective than weapons we have today. But that's what they said before we had the nuclear bomb. How could you make a bomb worse than the ones we're dropping, you know, over Germany or whatever? Well, we figured it out. And we figured it out 100 times over since then. That's one thing that brings science very far in our world is death and warfare. We're really good at making ways to die. And quantum technology is gonna change the whole equation. If you missed that in our August prophecy update, you might wanna catch up on that, because that's an important thing to know about the end times as it relates to the Antichrist. He'll be a conqueror, he'll come to conquer, and he'll have power given to him to conquer by Satan, as it turns out. So we're seeing this, the stage being set just even militarily for this coming world leader to start to dominate, and that's the big question. Is that gonna happen? Number four on our list of things we're learning from, you know, Revelation 13. The Antichrist will be given a specific period of time. Now, I do like this. This, at least there's a period of time that is gonna be a beginning and an end. The reason this, do you remember Jesus, when he was talking in Matthew 24 about the end times, the tribulation, he almost said to the people that would be in that time period, you know, pray that the days will be shortened. And the good news is they will be. This Antichrist is gonna be given some specific periods of time. And it's mentioned here, and it's worth a mention because we read about it also in Daniel chapter 7. We see that in Revelation 13, verse 5, where it said, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to do what? To continue 42 months. 42 months. How long is 42 months? Anybody? 3.5 years. And remember Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, the last part of verse 25, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of times. Do you remember that? We did this math on Wednesday night. The time equals 1 year, times two, and the dividing of times is a half. And you can prove that in other scriptures about that language. It's a sort of an idiom of the Bible that is used talking about this 42 months, 3.5 years, It even in some places lists out the days, and we'll get into that later on in Daniel. So what's going to happen? It's basically the Antichrist has been given time. But this unholy trinity that we're talking about tonight, you know, we've already told you about the beast versus, you know, the first part of chapter 13, verses 1 through 11, pardon me, verse 10. And then verses 11 and onward, we talk about the false prophet. And then we've also seen the dragon, this unholy trinity that we see here. The reason this is important is because these will operate differently in the 3.5 year chunks. In the first 3.5 years, it's gonna be where the Antichrist sort of wins everybody's favor. And he's gonna do it through sort of pseudo peace. That's when he'll, you know, rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And by the way, the stage is set for that. When the Antichrist brokers a peace deal between Israel and the Arabs, the Arab-Israeli conflict that's been going on for a long time. That's gonna be one of the marks of the first 3.5 years. At the very beginning of the tribulation, the beast, who will be promoted by the false prophet, and then they'll be worshiping the dragon. That's all gonna happen, and people are gonna love him in the first 3.5 years. And you know who's gonna love him perhaps more than anybody? The Jews. They're gonna be duped by this guy in the first 3.5 years. And what's interesting is the Jews are ready to roll with the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. That's one of the things that has to happen in the tribulation period, is the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. You think, well, how's that gonna happen? Because the Dome of the Rock shrine sits there right now, smack dab where the temple was. Well, there's debate on that. And I'm not gonna get into where the temple should be or will be or was. That's a long, fairly academic discussion. And it's fairly debatable. Some people are saying, no, the temple sat closer to where the city of David is. It was down in there. Some people say, no, it was where the Dome of the Rock is. No, it was where the Dome of the Spirits, this little gazebo that's out in the middle of the courtyard of the where the old temple was. And there's, you know, things you can do to sort of figure out where the temple sat. But this new temple, which will not include the court of the Gentiles, so it's much smaller, that's gonna be built, is gonna be there on the Temple Mount. And did you know the Temple Institute in Jerusalem today, they've got everything they need to build the temple. All they need is a peace treaty. All they need is somebody to make it so they can politically survive by taking part of the Temple Mount and building their temple on it. And so that's the first 3.5 years, that's gonna happen. The temple will be rebuilt. That'll be there, glorious in Jerusalem to the Jews. They'll think, finally our temple is built, thanks to this world leader that's here. They won't call him Mr. Antichrist. They'll think he's the Messiah. But do you guys remember what's gonna happen in the very middle at the 3.5 years? Something huge, does it? The abomination of desolation, talked about by Daniel, talked about by Jesus in Matthew 24, where suddenly this Antichrist, the beast, will show himself for who he really is. He'll reveal his true colors at the abomination. That's where he goes into the temple that he helped broker, that they rebuilt. He'll go into the temple to be worshiped and be glorified as God. And the Jews will say, whoops, oy vey, we made a mistake. That's not the Messiah. And the last 3.5 years of the Antichrist is gonna be hellish and bloody and brutal. No longer the fake, peaceful, nice, you know, Ronald Reagan guy. He's gonna turn into more of a horrific, warmongering, bloodthirsty person who will make war against the Jews and also the Christians. You say, Brett, I thought we were in heaven. We are. Well, then who are they? Remember, tribulation saints include the Jews who will all come to know the Lord. I believe the abomination of desolation will be the turning point for all of Israel. All the Jews, they'll realize Jesus really was the Messiah at that point. And they'll be saved. Romans 11, 25 talks about how when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, then all of Israel will be saved. Well, Brett, I thought the fullness of the Gentiles was the rapture of the church. I believe that, but you might even say, interestingly enough, the fullness of the Gentiles might be in the middle of the tribulation when some of those tribulation saints, people that didn't get raptured because they weren't believers, and they're gonna be living in the tribulation period, Gentile people who will remember that you told them, your family members, Jesus is coming, he's gonna rapture his church, and all this stuff's gonna go down. Maybe they'll listen to these teachings on YouTube and go, what was that guy saying again? The rapture of the church, and oh, that they'll see all the stuff that the Bible has been predicting for millennia, and they'll be saved. And that's the good news. The bad news is this Antichrist, the beast, he's gonna make war against them and want to kill them, and he will kill them. How will he kill them? The method, the Bible even gives us beheading. Who beheads people anymore? Brat. Oh yeah, the people in the Middle East. Yeah, they still do that, by the way. That's actually a tactic of the beheading is making a comeback, by the way, globally. I don't know if you knew that, but you can look it up. It's kind of gory to talk about it, but the idea of beheading people, it's coming back to popular demand for death. Now, one of the things that I have to say is you're watching what's going on in the world today geopolitically. You're getting a sense that the world is angry with believers, angry with Christians. Now whether it's a fair charge or not, but those evangelicals, you know, that are all anti-vaxxers, like it's funny how people are getting all, you know, pigeonholed into certain categories, whether it's true or false, you know, you could totally debate this, but the world, have you noticed sort of a mean-spiritedness about people of faith? And it's almost like I've got stories even of people going to local hospitals just down the road here. But because they didn't get the vaccine, it's almost like that is, well, you didn't get the vaccine, so you're gonna die. Sorry, we're not gonna help you because you were stupid and you didn't, you know, there's this sort of condescending attitude toward, like, you know, anti-vaxxers or people that aren't wearing masks or people that are overweight or people that are this or that or the other. And there's no longer this sanctity of life that we once kind of said. There's no longer this Hippocratic oath that there were once, I mean, I know it's still technically there, but I think a lot of people in medicine, by the way, you know, I spend time in hospitals and I have for a lot of years. And the reason why is as a pastor, I'll visit people and what have you. Probably one of the most hostile territories I ever go to. You just wanna know about it? OHSU. Man, when I walk into that hospital with my Bible in hand and my anointing oil in my pocket, they're just like, it's like suddenly, the pastor's here, you know, great. Hopefully dies as he's walking around. Like there's a real hostility toward people of faith. I feel bad for you Christians at work at OHSU. You probably don't anymore because you just got fired last week. But no, I'm just kidding. It's sad. It's sad where there's a hostility. Well, you got to understand, by the time the tribulation period rolls out, the beast will be exactly that. He'll say, if you don't take my mark, that's the last 3.5 years, if you don't do that, you're gonna die, and you deserve to die. And you know, there's this narrative, there's all kinds of narratives that why people should die today. You know, Bill Gates is saying the population of the earth is way too huge. We gotta get it way down. We need to sort of, well, what does that mean to make the population of the earth go down to the levels he wants it? It's either gonna take thousands of years to get to that, or we need to start offing people. Like it's a weird thing that there's sort of a mentality and there's even some radical, you know, environmentalists. And I'm saying radical, don't misquote me on this, but there are radical environmentalists that wanna kill people and say people should die because the earth, it'd be better if all humanity died so that the earth could go on and, you know, without the cancer of the human. You know, there's a whole worldview like that. It's not gonna be that far of a leap. Even if the rapture of the church happened tomorrow, he's got 3.5 years. Do you think things could change for the worse in 3.5 years from today? We've seen that in the last year and a half. In the last year and a half, we've seen the world change pretty radically. I believe during the tribulation, the first 3.5 years will be staging, preparing, deceiving, but the last 3.5 years, that's where the beast is gonna go ballistic and it's gonna get ugly. Just a reminder, Satan is at work today, of course, doing his thing, but the Antichrist will not come until after the rapture of the church. I hope you know that. I got to say this, and I know a lot of you already know this, but I hear amazing statements from people. Well, I think the Antichrist is so-and-so. Or they're trying to name who the Antichrist is. Well, Bible says the Antichrist won't be revealed. In fact, it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says this, and I like the ESV. I pulled the ESV version for this one just for clarity. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 8, it says, "And you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one," that's one of the names of the Antichrist, "will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming." Christ is gonna come and do away with this, you know, Antichrist character during his second coming, which is at the end of the tribulation period. But the Antichrist won't be revealed until what? It says only he who restrains. The King James says he who lets, like remember tennis, when you get the ball hits the net, it's a let. The net held back the ball is the idea. Well, that's the idea. The church is letting right now. The church is that which, filled with the Holy Spirit, is that which holds back and restrains all of this from happening right now. But once he or she, the church, is taken up out of the way, then what happens? It says, once he's taken out of the way, then the lawless one will be revealed. So you can be sure of this as a Christian. We're not gonna see this Antichrist. Now, some of you might be saying, great, Brett, that's great. Why are we going over this then? Who cares? Let's talk about Christmas or something happy. The reason we talk about Antichrist is because he's mentioned 100 times in the Bible. And I think it helps us to know what's happening so that we can share with other people, here's what's gonna happen in the Bible. The Bible tells us how it's gonna shake out, and what's gonna go down. And also, we know that when we see the stage being set for Antichrist, we know that Jesus Christ is coming. That's why it's interesting to look at the signs of the time. It's a little bit like remember when they broke out the Christmas decorations in the stores in August? Isn't it amazing? Like they're busting out Christmas decorations so early at Home Depot and Fred Meyer, you know, Christmas decorations. I'm not opposed to that because I just love Christmas. But you know what that tells me? When I see Christmas decorations, I think, you know what? Thanksgiving's coming. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I love Thanksgiving. That's great. But Brett, it's not Thanksgiving. They're celebrating Christmas. Well, that's the way I feel about this. You can see the handwriting on the wall for the Antichrist. You see the world leaders coming. What does that mean? Jesus is coming soon. Because Jesus is coming before. Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. Jesus is coming before the Antichrist. So when we see the signs of the time shaking out where Antichrist, wow, we see how a world leader could pop on the scene in 10 minutes. He could be powerful, loved, elected, nominated, Pulitzer, Peace Prize, Nobel, whatever. In 10 seconds, he'll be the guy. We totally see how that can shake out today. And so that means Christ is coming soon. I believe that. Well, I better keep moving. Number 5, we learn from chapter 13, the Antichrist will hate and oppose God. Everything that God is and everything God has done and everything God will do, he's against that. It's Revelation 13, verse 6. It says, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name." And his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Question, who are them that dwell in heaven? Christians. He's gonna be blaspheming us, even though we're gone. That's amazing. You know, we won't be forgotten. The raptured church will not be forgotten, but he will blaspheme, number one, the name of God, the tabernacle, and also those of us that dwell in heaven, the church. Does this ring a bell? Did we just talk about this recently? Where did we talk about this? Anybody? Daniel chapter 7, but also check out Daniel chapter 11. The king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and he shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that which is determined shall be done. I pulled out Daniel 11 because that even says it more clearly, concisely, powerfully. But do you remember what we read in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, where it says, he shall speak great words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what we learned on Daniel 7. So are we seeing the parallels? By the way, remember the beasts of Daniel chapter 7? We saw the lion with the wings, then we saw the bear, and then we saw the leopard, and then there's the beast. And we talk about how it was the kingdoms of the world. Isn't it interesting in Revelation 13 that the beast that comes out of the sea in verse 2, 1 and 2 of Revelation 13, what is he likened to? He's like a beast that's like, he's got all those attributes. He's got attributes, did you notice that? Of a lion, feet of a bear, quick as a leopard, like all of the attributes, and then he's called the beast. Again, we have to understand, you know, Daniel is the key that unlocks Revelation, and Revelation is the key that unlocks the book of Daniel. I'm always amazed, by the way, and I'm not saying this condescendingly or like I know anything, because it's really not that hard. It's just that there's a lot of churches that so sadly ignore the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel because prophecy is too hard to understand. Prophecy is, you know, too, we don't understand it, so we're just not gonna go there. Isn't it amazing? Like, I'm always amazed that the churches avoid prophecy because, you know, it's interesting, especially the book of Revelation. Why should churches go into the book of Revelation? It's the only book in the Bible that says the church doesn't read and hear this book, they're gonna be blessed out of their minds. As we are. Every time we talk about Bible prophecy, it's funny how the Lord just blesses us. It says this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth, that's me, and they that hear, that's you, I'm reading it right now, the words of this prophecy and keep those things, oh, we gotta do that too, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We're supposed to be keeping these things in our hearts and keeping them, knowing that these things are gonna happen and know about the book of Revelation and know about the book of Daniel. If you don't, you know, study the book of Revelation, you're not gonna understand the book of Daniel and vice versa. But all that to say, the Antichrist, one of the things we see both in Daniel and Revelation is he's gonna hate and oppose the true and living God. And he'll speak marvelous things. The word marvelous there is not like, oh, what a wonderful God he is. No, marvelous, like it's incredibly insane, over the top. The word marvelous could go either way back in Old English and what have you. And so you've got the Antichrist who hates and opposes God. One of the things that we're seeing today is a real hatred and vitriol spewed by celebrities, comedians, you know, this Nas X and his little shoes that he made. Like, it all flies in the face of God. By the way, Nas X, he distributed his 666 shoe, Satan's shoe, the devil's shoe, when he was also coming out as gay and, you know, and did this whole video where he had this erotic dance with the devil and then he slew the devil and all this stuff. But it's all just kind of flies in the face of God. And much of what we see today is speaking marvelous things, if you would, against the God of gods. We could talk about Antifa, what they yell out, and BLM, what they cry out in the streets. Those are words that are against God and against his word. And we're seeing people speak these things. And there's a level of crazy against God. In celebrities and Hollywood and comedians, we're seeing, that's just commonplace. And I believe that's part of this stage that's being set right now is the world is postured to hate God right now. Where is God? Time magazine back in the 70s, you know, God is dead. And the 60s, you know, the sexual revolution. And, you know, there's a lot of people who said, we don't believe in God anymore. And then if they do believe in God, people are shaking their puny little fists at God. But this is something that the Antichrist will come and do. He's gonna take that whole thing to a whole nother level. To blaspheme the name of God, his tabernacle, that's the temple that he will defile, the abomination of desolation, and also the people that are in heaven, that's us. He's gonna be given to that. So when you hear that, by the way, when you hear people blaspheme the name of the Lord, and like I said, it's happening rampantly today, that can be very discouraging, but you also have to realize that speaks of the days we're living. The days we're living, it's common, it's popular, and it's hip to be sort of anti-God. And you know, have you noticed how militant the atheists have become? I mean, it used to be where atheists were just like, you know, oh, I'm sad that they don't believe in God, and it's really sad that they don't believe in the afterlife or anything like that, bummer. But they just kind of quietly were atheists. But today, oh man, the atheists are going after you. There's a hostility there in colleges and universities from the atheists. That's only gonna be reinforced by this coming world leader, the Antichrist and what have you. Well, brings us to, what are we on? Number six, the Antichrist, according to Revelation 13, will have global authority. We see that in Revelation 13:7. In that verse, it says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That's the tribulation saints, Jews and Gentiles who accepted Christ during the tribulation. He will make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power is given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. I mean, think about that for a second. That's kind of amazing to me that he's gonna have that power given by Satan himself. We learned that in the very first couple of verses. Satan gives him the power, and now he's gonna use that power to subdue all the tongues, kindred. He's gonna be the next, you know, he's gonna be the next world conqueror. He's gonna conquer the world during the tribulation period. I hope you understand that. That's pretty a radical thing. Now, again, in looking at the geopolitics of this, do you understand that the world is posturing for a world leader that will take over everything? That's happening and people are talking about. That's a bit of a buzz right now. Let me show you several articles that kind of point in this direction. Breitbart, EU absolutely wants its own army, says Farage. He said, the European Union needs to build the political will to craft an army of its own. President Ursula von der Leyen said in her State of Union speech on Wednesday. The EU, the European Union, they're wanting to build their own army. Remember, could it be that the ten horns are out of the old Roman Empire, which is the European Union today, the same basic territory? Out of that will come the 10 toes or the 10 horns, and from the midst of them will come the little horn, the Antichrist. So it is interesting to watch the European Union. Now, I'll just say some people believe it's not gonna be European nations at all. It's gonna be a confederation of 10 nations globally. Some people say that. Some people believe it's gonna be 10 Arab nations that were part of the old Roman Empire. Some people say that. No matter what your view on that is, right now the EU is starting to wanting to arm up and become its own world power. CNBC article just came out, I believe it was September 4th, it came out. Afghanistan pullout sparks EU calls for more military might. The vacuum the United States is leaving in world power is making a lot of these other nations lick their chops to become the next world power, China, Russia. But the EU is in the mix right now. They're saying, we wanna be the next world power. And so this article says, Gentiloni name-checked what he called a terrible conclusion to the war in Afghanistan in recent weeks as one example of the United States and others reducing their commitments on the global stage. His comments add another voice to the argument that the EU should develop a common defense policy, which many see as a forerunner to a complete EU army. Watch that EU army. Could it be that's the army that eventually the Antichrist is worship, as he worships munitions and he builds up his weapons, maybe that's the army that's gonna do that. Right now it doesn't exist, but it wouldn't take long. I mean, after all, Afghanistan just got $80 billion worth of military equipment. That happened in 10 seconds. So who knows what could happen with the EU. The DW article, amid Taliban takeover, climate change could drive the conflict. I just thought I had to throw this in there. This is kind of funny. Have you seen these people that are connecting what's going on in Afghanistan to climate change? Everything's linked to climate change, by the way. It's amazing how this is always the narrative. It says the past 30 years have brought flood, drought, hunger to Afghanistan. With the Taliban sweeping to power, many within and outside of the country wonder how to deal with the looming climate disaster. I don't think Taliban's too worried about the climate disaster, as it turns out. I think that's just, does everything sort of revolve around climate change agenda? You know, all the stuff that's going on right now in the world, wars and drought, earthquakes, weather events, fires, water shortages, mental health issues, plagues, pandemics, as they call it, financial issues. You'll see people link all of that to climate change. It's an amazing thing. It's striking to me that there's even a logical person that actually is trying to make those things. I don't think there is a logic to it. Could it be that this narrative of climate change is one of the main reasons the world will raise up and accept the Antichrist? You know, it just does seem like building on deception is what Satan does. So, you know, this climate change, well, according to AOC, you know, we've only got, what, 10 more years left? And their world's gonna be over. And there's a lot of people who believe the world's just gonna be over. And there's nothing like a good crisis to usher in a new leader. And if they can make that narrative of the climate change crisis to be as bad as they really want it to be perceived, I believe this could be one of the things that sort of gives rise to Antichrist as a world leader battling climate change. It could be. Maybe it's climate change. Harvard Law School article, Global Leadership Vacuum During the COVID-19 Crisis. As the coronavirus outbreak in China exploded into international pandemic, nations have largely struggled to confront COVID-19 in isolation rather than teaming up on global solutions. This is funny to me, this comes from Harvard. They say the go-it-alone approach has bred dysfunctional competition for scarce resources, a shortage of creative solutions, and enormous inefficiencies. Greater collaboration and coordination are needed to improve global leadership surrounding the crisis and will benefit all types of organizational leadership. There's a whole group of people out there, and I just grabbed this Harvard Law School article because it sort of sums it up, that are saying the dysfunction of leadership in the world today is profound. And they're saying, as it relates to the coronavirus and the way the world has handled it, you know, I mentioned earlier, could it be, you know, the climate change is the thing that ushers in the Antichrist? Or could it be COVID or some other, you know, crisis or pandemic that rises as one of the main reasons the world will accept Antichrist? If the world kind of says, wow, we kind of handled the coronavirus, you know, COVID-19, we handled that badly. We need to get our heads together and get somebody other than Fauci leading the way, because he says different things on any given day. We need leadership. And you can almost see the world saying, give us leadership. It could be that which sort of slides this coming world leader, Antichrist, into position. So the Antichrist will have global, worldwide authority, and the world's gonna give it to him. And I can see the posturing of all the things that are going on in the world today. That sets the stage for the Antichrist to come onto the scene, and they go, there's our man. He'll fight coronavirus, he'll fight climate change, and I'll fight these stupid Christians that are the whole problem. That stage is set right now. Number 7 on our list. I'm not ready for number 7. Business Insider article. The world's biggest carbon removal plant. This cracked me up. I had to put this in there. The world's biggest carbon removal plant for you climate change people. Good news. They've made this carbon removal plant because of all the carbon, because of your carbon footprint. But here's what they found. In a year, it'll negate just 3 seconds worth of global emissions. They spent billions of dollars on this place. 3 seconds of carbon emissions will be dealt with. It'll take a whole year for that. So we only have to build about 1 million or more of these, and then it'll start making a dent in the so-called carbon emissions problem. it just cracks me up that we've lost our minds in these last times. Well, number seven on our list, we're getting there, slow but sure. The Antichrist will be part of a global, worldwide false religion. That's what we learn here. It says in our text, Revelation 13:8. See how it's amazing how just Revelation 13 gives us all this stuff about the Antichrist. And we could go to other paths. We could go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, whole nother list of things the Antichrist does. Lots of information on this guy. But in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Isn't it amazing that they'll literally worship him? That's gonna happen in the tribulation period. And you know, we see echoes of, you know, ripples of Bible prophecy, even as Nebuchadnezzar made everybody bow to his image that he set up in Babylon, and you'd be killed if you didn't. So too, this coming world leader is gonna set up an image to be worshiped, and the world's gonna worship him, except for peoples whose names are gonna be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What book is that? It's a book of people who are saved. And during the tribulation, there'll be people's names written in there, Jews and Gentiles who will be saved and will not follow and will not bow down and worship this this beast. Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14 also deals with this idea of the world religion that's gonna come. It says, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Part of the reason people are gonna bow down and worship him is because the wound that he gets and he lives, but also he'll do these great signs and wonders. Fire going down from heaven. Do you get a sense today that if somebody came on the scene and was able to call fire down from heaven, people would go, well, that seals it for me. I'm worshiping him. Like we live in a world that follow after signs and wonders, and even Christian churches. That's all they need to say, well, he did a miracle, so it must be of God. But do you understand the devil does miracles, signs and wonders, or at least he's able to pull it off to look like he does that. Fire coming down from heaven, that's Elijah material. But this coming world leader will be able to pull off some of this stuff, and he'll do great wonders and make fire come down from heaven. You know, I don't know how that's gonna shake out practically, but you know, some of the things we're seeing today are almost like great wonders. I think it's a great wonder to watch that 15-story rocket that Elon Musk launched. Did you see it come back? It's like the coin tower size, you know, in Portland. He shot it into space, it went around and orbited for a while, and then it came down and landed back on its pedestal there. Like, and it's as big as the coin tower. Like that's an amazing wonder, if you ask me. That's like fire from heaven right there. I wonder if he's gonna use AI or tech to sort of bring to life some of these so-called wonders and miracles. Whether they're literal miracles or just deceiving miracles, I don't know. But there will be this global religion. It's gonna be worldwide, and it's gonna be sort of a syncretism. Everybody's gonna sort of mesh whatever's left. Now remember, the true religion, the true people of faith, they'll be raptured. Anybody that's in part of the Church of Jesus Christ, they'll be raptured. Anything that's left after that. I mean, think about that for a second. What kind of churches, and I don't want you to fill in the blanks, just think about it in your head. What kind of churches will be left behind? The rapture of the church won't affect those churches. I will say there's churches right here in downtown Portland that call themselves churches that will not be raptured because they don't believe that Jesus is God who died on the cross for their sins and he's the only way to heaven. There's a lot of churches that believe that Jesus is a way but not the way and that he was just a good teacher or a good prophet. They're not churches. There's people that believe Jesus was a great prophet or a great guy but they don't believe he was God. They're not churches that are gonna be raptured. So there's gonna be a religious system left behind after the rapture. And I believe that it's very possible that because of the rapture of the church, whatever's left is gonna kind of come together during that time. And the Antichrist is gonna employ all those resources and churches and buildings and money and power in those churches to sort of build his one world religion. And that's what people are gonna worship. They're gonna worship. By the way, Vatican News, speaking of, I left this scripture out. 2 Thessalonians says, even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's, by the way, why I believe it might be sort of a fake wonder or technology or something like that, because it's lying wonders. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The Vatican came out with this recently. The Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi opens in 2022. The cultural landmark in UAE capital, which includes a synagogue, a church, and a mosque. It's meant to be a beacon of understanding and peaceful coexistence inspired by the document on human fraternity. Here's where the Pope went and signed that document with a Muslim cleric of human fraternity of religion. They're all already about that. And as it turns out, they're gonna complete this is a sort of virtual model of the future Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi that's got the synagogue, the mosque, and the church. And it's gonna be done. They're already well under construction. It'll be done in 2022, which is kind of interesting. All that to say, this is the kind of syncretism that they're gonna see in the tribulation period, but it's not gonna be worshiping Jehovah. It's gonna be worshiping this coming world leader, Antichrist. And the stage will be set. And anything that's left after the rapture of the church will probably meld into that false religious system. The Cuz Blue article, August 27th of 2020. I thought this was interesting. Red Francis uses coronavirus to spout off about global warming, income inequality, and rising sea levels. It's amazing how this Pope is so into all these things, but not as much into the things that the Bible actually talks about. Just if you're a Catholic, you should kind of be a little bit skeptical of some of the things that he's doing, because the things Pope Francis has done in his time of being Pope only feeds perfectly into this one world globalism, religion, government. But why is Francis talking about all the things we've been talking about that the Antichrist is gonna be? But are you suggesting that the Pope is the Antichrist? No, not saying that. But it is interesting that the Pope's narrative fits with what's gonna happen with that Antichrist. This article says, Pope Francis said Wednesday that the coronavirus pandemic reveals that the world's wealth is controlled by a few rich people, which is an injustice that cries out to heaven. We must say it simply, the economy is sick. Francis wrote in a letter, it has become ill, it is sick, the fruit of unequal economic growth. This is the illness, the fruit of unequal economic growth that disregards fundamental human values. Francis emphasized the injustice that a small group of people that possess more than all the rest of humanity, and said that economic inequality is inextricably tied to the damage inflicted on our common home, the earth. So the inequity is because of global warming. Makes perfect sense. We are close to exceeding many limits of our wonderful planet, with serious and irreversible consequences, from the loss of biodiversity and climate change, of rising sea levels and the destruction of tropical forests. Francis said, social inequality and environmental degradation go together and have the same root, the sin of wanting to possess and wanting to dominate one's brothers and sisters, of wanting to possess and dominate nature and God himself. Interesting, because if you read your Bible, the Bible says the Lord is gonna fold up this earth like an old piece of clothing, that this world will pass away. You don't wanna put your investment in this world. It doesn't mean we should trash this world, but the Bible says in the last days, this world is eventually gonna fail. It's gonna go down. Well, number eight, we're almost done. This Antichrist character will control not only the religion, but the global economy. And that's the last part of this chapter, of course, verses 16 and 17. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Isn't it interesting that there's gonna be a great equalizer of social wealth? And it's not gonna be the Pope saying, we need equality. It's the Antichrist that's gonna cause small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's gonna level everybody out, rich and poor. That's the idea. Kind of what socialism tries to do is to level everybody out. They'll get a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, which verse 18 tells us is 666. Interesting that this global economy, people are talking about this. Are you familiar with the World Economic Forum? It's a very powerful group of wealthy people that are doing things that are a little creepy, to say the least. Before we get into that, there's an article from Statista that I thought was interesting. The impact of the coronavirus pandemic on the global economy. While there is no way to tell exactly what the economic damage of the global COVID-19 pandemic will be, there is widespread agreement among economists it will have severe negative impacts on the global economy. Early estimates predicted that should the virus become even more global and worse than it is now, most economies will lose at least 2.9%. And by the way, since this article, they've already lost more than that. They believe it could get, you know, losses of 4.5% and greater. It's all about, you know, how do we fix this? And it gets to be about control. It starts to become about control. Do you sense that governments and agencies and wealthy people are trying to control some things? It's the wealthy people that are controlling the narrative on Facebook and Twitter. And they're controlling what information gets out there and what doesn't. Did you see even YouTube this last week clamped down further still on people that are talking about immunizations and all kinds of issues and stuff like that? The Daily Caller article, Australia's home quarantine app uses facial recognition technology to make sure you haven't left your house. The app ensures citizens to comply with quarantine orders by contacting people at random and asking them to provide proof of their location within 15 minutes. You gotta take a picture of yourself in a known location and send that in. Citizens then share their location with their government to provide live face check-ins to confirm that they're registered quarantine address according to the app's description. Individuals who miss their geolocation check-ins will receive a follow-up phone call where they will have to discuss why they missed the notification. And if they miss that, a compliance officer will visit their home, according to Apple's, frequently asked question department. That's crazy that you're gonna have to check in within 15 minutes. So you better have a smartphone and you better be ready to answer or else they'll send their officers. That's how crazy Australia has become. I believe this mark of the beast will solve all that problem. He'll know where people are at. You won't have to worry about buying or selling as long as you have this mark. But if you don't have the mark, like we're seeing in a little bit, in sort of a small way, what it's like to not have a mask. Just change the letter, mark, mask. There's some restaurants you can't go into unless you have the mark, I mean the mask. And it's kind of a bummer. You're like, man, I wanna eat here, but I guess I'm not going to because you gotta wear the mask. And that's really lighthearted compared to what the mark will represent. You will not be able to buy gasoline or go, you know, get your groceries or have even the home delivery. That's what a lot of us mask, people that don't like wearing masks, praise the Lord for home delivery groceries. Like that's, I don't even go to Fred Meyer anymore. I was in Fred Meyer for the first time in like 3 years, just this last week, which is kind of funny. I hate shopping. I kind of like the whole lockdown, but I digress. AP article, the United Nations chief, world is at a pivotal moment and must avert crisis. I don't have time to go into this article, but basically General Antonio Guterres issued a dire warning saying, we've got to change everything. We got to change leadership. We got to change globally the way we think about everything. And we got to do the new normal. And then it gets to what this World Economic Forum has been preaching for several years now, the Great Reset. We need to reset everything. And if we had more time, we might go into this. And I have, by the way, we've talked about the World Economic Forum, the WEF, in previous prophecy updates. And it's profound. The things that they're pushing set the stage for the one world economy that will be run by this coming world leader called Antichrist. So all that to say, I kind of need to start wrapping it up, but here's the thing. One thing that you should be really careful about, as we've studied this just tonight, taking some time, looked at Revelation 13, gives us all kinds of detail about this coming world leader, Antichrist, and you see the curtain almost ready to be drawn open and say, let's see who that is. But we aren't looking for Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. We are not looking for the Antichrist. We are looking for Jesus Christ. And it's the Thanksgiving Christmas thing I told you about earlier. We're seeing the signs of Antichrist, the World Economic Forum, the global religion, the global economic situation. We're seeing a vacuum for leadership around the world. But those signs, as dire as they are, that there's this Antichrist coming, that means Jesus' rapture of his church is coming even sooner. Rejoice. It's something for us to be glad about. Don't be, oh man, what a bummer, we talked about Antichrist all night. No, the coming of the Antichrist means that the rapture of the church and us meeting Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let me end with this verse. For the grace of God, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look at looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I love this verse because it sums it up. What should we do in light of the fact that we're living in the last times? Man, we need to be godly people, deny worldly lusts. We should be living soberly and righteously and serving God, but above all, looking for that blessed hope that we have, the hope of our appearing of Jesus, where we meet him in the sky, the rapture of the church. It's gonna happen, and it's something to rejoice in. So may the Lord give us that anticipation. When you see the bad stuff, instead of saying, man, the world's falling apart, remember, the world's falling into place, and the rapture of the church is next on the list of things to do, amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, how thankful we are for your word that gives us such detail. Lord, it's profound, really, how you, we read the Bible and we see just really so exact issues right in front of us that are measuring up to what your word has taught us. Give us, Lord, that hope, I pray. Keep us from being frustrated or fearful even. Lord, I pray that your church would be bold in these days. Instead of freaking out, I pray we'd be sharing the gospel. Instead of storing up food and guns and all that, Lord, I pray that we would be giving out the scriptures and the truth and making the gospel known to as many people so that they might be saved and also raptured when that time comes. Lord, help us to be about your business, about your kingdom, Lord, not the kingdoms of this world. So give us wisdom, Lord, in these days we're living. I pray that the joy would be our strength, that we'd shine our lights before all men, Lord, in these days. This we pray, this we ask in Jesus' name, amen.